This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Get back to your phone calls here coming up in a bit. I do want to talk about how yesterday was a major redemption day for a few members of the team. Sky Moore deserves a lot of credit. He got a lot of criticism early in the season about his contributions on special teams, and he came up in a major way and made a play that helped this team win yesterday. We'll talk about some of the players who found redemption in a Chiefs win yesterday and helped guide them to the Super Bowl. Our NFL playoff coverage is brought to you by Centric. Learn more at centric.com/610. Our NFL playoff coverage is also brought to you by Twin Peaks, where you can eat, drink, and see the scenic views. We'll get back to your phone calls here coming up in a bit, 913-586-7610. But right now, let's head to the phone lines to be joined by Mo Egger of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati to get the Bengals' perspective of the AFC Championship game. Mo, we appreciate you joining us. What's been the feeling and sentiment in Cincinnati after yesterday's loss?
I think there's a combination of anger at the officiating, anger at the NFL, frustration with how the game played out, disappointment in how the offensive line played, and I think a very serious lament of an opportunity that they've let slip away. You know, you could talk about how bright the future is for this team, and I believe that it is, and how they're going to play in more big games like last night's. But you only get so many chances. This was a really, really good team, arguably the best team they've ever had, and to fall short of a championship, fall short of even a chance to play for a championship, is thoroughly disappointing.
What's the biggest frustration towards the officials? I've seen various calls that have been disputed. What are the handful of plays that Bengals fans are most upset about?
I think the one that they're most upset about is the one that I think they have the most legitimate beef on, and that's the hold on the last offensive play by Patrick Mahomes. You know, the Joseph Osai penalty, that was a legit call. The administrative mistake with, you know, basically awarding the Chiefs a free play, frankly, really didn't impact the outcome of the game. And once the official made a mistake, the ruling was correct to basically do the play over. I think, though, if you were to boil it down to one that has them most upset, it's the holding call that involved Trey Hendrickson on the Patrick Mahomes scramble that set up the game-winning field goal. There's a block in the back on that punt that a lot of folks have focused on. But if we boil it down to one, I think that holding call has ignited the most anger, if you will.
Right now we're talking to Mo Egger of ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. How much of the frustration is actually placed on the team? Because I'm looking at the game flow of the game. It's tied 20-20. Joe Burrow throws an interception. They then get another opportunity to score. They then punt the football. Cincinnati still had a chance to win this game late based off their offense and their quarterback, and they didn't do that yesterday.
Yeah, look, I think there's two different issues with the team. I think there's the slow start. First 10 offensive plays, Cincinnati had three sacks given up, a false start, and a holding penalty. And look, you know, we saw the three games that Cincinnati and Kansas City played last year and this year. The first two, Chiefs built big leads, built a 14-0 lead at Paul Brown Stadium, became a 21-7 lead. And then obviously in the AFC Championship game last year, 21-3 deficit the Bengals overcame. that's great. You can't continue to dig yourselves holes. And even if you do, and the Bengals did, you just can't help but wonder how much the game would have played out differently had they started faster. So you start with that. But then you're right. Look, Joe Burrow had the ball in his hands on two drives in the fourth quarter with the game tied. And in the second one, all you really need is a field goal. If I would have said to any Bengals fan yesterday, all right, tie game, Joe's going to have the game in his hands, he's going to have timeouts, he's going to have the two-minute warning to work with. Oh, and by the way, you've got a very good kicker, and so you're only going to need to get to field goal range. I think most Bengals fans would have taken that. Unfortunately, it wasn't that dissimilar from how the season ended last year. Last year, they played in the Super Bowl against the LA Rams. What happened? They had no answer for Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald ruined everything the Bengals were trying to do in that football game. Last night, it was Chris Jones. Two sacks, five pressures. He forced an intentional grounding, bunch of quarterback hits. He was terrific. You worried about their fatal flaw catching up to him when the postseason began, right? They were starting the postseason with two backup offensive linemen. That became three when Jonah Williams got injured in the playoff opener against Baltimore. The offensive line held up fine last week. In fact, the offense cooked. But number one, the weather was going to be more favorable to a defensive line. Number two, Kansas City just has a better defensive front. That was the fear all week. Was the offensive line going to be able to have the same type of performance we saw against Buffalo against a better defensive front? And the answer was no.
Right now, we're talking to Mo Edgar of 1530 in Cincinnati, getting the Cincinnati perspective on last night's AFC Championship game. I view the game as the things that Cincinnati did to win the first three games they didn't do in this one, especially the last two. They did a good job protecting Joe Burrow. They didn't do a great job in this one. They were able to avoid the big costly turnover. They had a couple of them in this game. I just thought this was maybe the sloppiest we've seen Cincinnati play over those four games, and ultimately that's what did them in.
Yeah, they couldn't take advantage of the breaks that they did get. But no, you're right. I mean, start with the way they began the game offensively. Roll into the conversation that the pick that Joe Burrow throws late in the first half. Now, they overcame a lot of that stuff. They did come back and tie the game. They were terrific at the end of the first half, and not only keeping Kansas City from scoring more points when it was 13-3, but they went down the field and ended up getting points before the half. But I think you could look at some of the clock mismanagement there. They called timeouts on three consecutive plays, which I think may have cost them 4 points. In a game like this, when the margin for error is really, really thin, those things get magnified. And they certainly did. And then again, look, last year in the fourth quarter, the Bengals were the better team against Kansas City. Earlier this season, in the game played on December the 4th, the Bengals made a critical play in the fourth quarter, and their offense came up big with a game-ending drive. You're right. What they did well in those games prior to last night, they didn't yesterday. They had a chance. They had two chances with Joe Burrow on the field, and the game tied. And in that last one, all you needed was, and they couldn't get it. I thought there was a play in that sequence in which Joe Burrow could have run for a significant chunk of yardage. Instead, he dumped the ball off to his tight end. That ended up being a two-yard gain. The intentional grounding play hurt, even though they did come back and get a first down after that. But at the end of the day, their offensive line got beat up. And when I think of this game, I don't know, a year from now, I'm going to think about Chris Jones being the best player on the field, because last night I thought he was.
Mo, there's a feeling in Kansas City that Cincinnati did a lot of talking over the course of the week, whether it was the Burrowhead comments, whether it was Cincinnati mayor. There's been a lot of, I don't want to say dancing on the grave of Cincinnati, but definitely that the Bengals got what they had coming to them. What does that side think of basically everything we've heard the Chiefs say here over the last 12 hours or so?
I mean, look, what I'll say is this. I'm not sure you're going to find many Bengals fans who don't feel like the mayor of Cincinnati had it coming last night based on that video that he shot. That was idiotic. And so you knew that was going to be thrown back in his face. And I think most Cincinnatians will be right there with you on that one. But look, I mean, Mike Hilton coined the term Burrowhead. You knew that if Kansas City won the game, that was going to be thrown back in their face. I think the Bengals have a very likable team, a very fun team, and a team that, for the most part, they understand that there's a line between fun and immaturity. But I do wonder if they're in the same position next year, if there's going to be a little bit less of that, if there's going to be a little bit, you know, tempering of the celebrations for what they accomplish, a little bit less smack talk. I don't know that you're going to have nearly as much of that. And look, from a Bengals KC perspective, it was rooted in the fact that they had beaten them three times. I also think this team really rallied around the idea that the NFL screwed them with the way they were going to seed the postseason and maybe have a coin flip determine the site of a Baltimore-Cincinnati playoff game. And they rallied around the whole neutral site AFC championship game, had it involve Kansas City and Buffalo. And I get it. You know, athletes, you need to find things to rally around in order to get motivated, in order to have an edge, and in order to come together. Those things are as old as sports themselves. But did things get a little bit too over the top from a trash talk perspective? Maybe. And I think if they're in the same position next year, it'll be interesting to see if they dial some of that stuff back.
Last question here, Mo, we appreciate your time. This feels like the it rivalry in the NFL. What's next for Cincinnati? You lose in the AFC championship game. You've got a big decision when it comes to Joe Burrow's contract and how it's going to be structured. What do you think is in the next 6 months for the Cincinnati Bengals?
Well, you're right. I think this has turned into a terrific rivalry, and we're in this golden era of these AFC teams with terrific quarterbacks that you expect to just be, you know, going up against each other for years to come in big regular season games and obviously in playoff games. As for the Bengals this offseason, you're right. The first thing that's going to get done is a Joe Burrow contract extension. I think there's some interesting angles to that. One would be, what does Justin Herbert get from the L.A. Chargers? What does Jalen Hurts get from the Philadelphia Eagles? You know, those are two players that have contract extensions coming up. How do those deals impact what the Bengals give Joe Burrow? How does what Joe Burrow gets impact other roster decisions, both this offseason and down the road? They still have an offensive line question. They've got some very good potential free agents that they've got to figure out a way to keep. They could possibly lose both of their starting safeties. They've got some decisions to make about players who have a year left on their deal in terms of what those guys are going to get long term. And I think the Burrow deal itself is going to be interesting because he obviously could sign one of these, you know, 10, 12-year contracts. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if he signs something that keeps him here for the short term, but gives him a chance to tap into free agency maybe when he's 30 or 31 years old, perhaps take advantage of an exploding salary cap by then. But this is going to be a fascinating offseason. And I think to a degree, that's what adds to the disappointment of last night. The window isn't going to close for this team. These guys, I think, should be considered favorites to win the AFC North next year. I don't think it would surprise anybody if they found themselves back in the AFC championship game in a year. But the makeup of the roster is going to change. Lou Anarumo, the defensive coordinator, is going to get a head coaching interview with the Cardinals. Apparently the same for Brian Callahan, the offensive coordinator. So there's going to be change. And with change comes uncertainty. What was certain was they had a chance to go to a second consecutive Super Bowl last night, and they let that chance get away. And when you add that to, you know, the questions this team has in front of it over the next 6 months, that just compounds the frustration and disappointment.
That is Mo Edgar with 1530 in Cincinnati joining us on the show today. Mo, let me say this. I appreciate all the flexibility you've shown us here over the last 4 or 5 weeks. You guys have certainly been at the center of a lot of big NFL topics, and I appreciate you. And I want to say this for everybody in Kansas City. If you see Eli Apple, tell him that everybody in Kansas City said that we hope he enjoys Cancun.
You know, we talked a lot last week of all the players who were going to have the receipts shown at them, Eli Apple was going to be at the top of the list. The Eli Apple experience is a roller coaster, and this just adds another chapter to it. So I'm sure Eli's having a good time today.
Thanks, Mo.
Okay, see you, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.